Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Some of the examples, voice, video, IM, short message service, file sharing, screen sharing, telepresence is a very big opportunity now. There's a lot of these new technologies that are coming down the pipe. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Dig, DigitalOcean is an example in a specific discipline. Those are all applications of social media. And so what I'm going to talk about is the idea of a universal directory that provides a directory service for establishing a single point of communication between all these different innovative technologies and networks, and then a way of establishing that connectivity, all for the sake in this context to talk about how we can innovate and innovate solutions that move towards that final solution, be it through the interoperability or the directory or building in more capabilities into each technology to get to that point. So today, I'm just going to kind of break down how we've been doing our communication. Sounds simple, but say we have John Smith. Now, if we want to call him, we have three different phone numbers, we have multiple email addresses, we have different SMS services. If he's on Yahoo, we have their name, MSN, Skype, GChat, and they have a homepage, Twitter, Facebook, all this stuff. Tons of contact information, if you can even have this information. So first of all, there's a challenge of just getting this information and being able to store this information and keep it updated, which we'll talk about. Then, once you have all that communication, you need to identify which network, which system you're going to use to establish that communication. You know, pick up your cell phone, pick up your office phone. Are you going to use Outlook? Are you going to use Google Mail? Are you going to use MSN? How are you going to communicate with this person? And then once you figure out how you're going to communicate with them, you have to use the appropriate format. You know, we have the telephone number format that when you really step back and think about it, it's kind of weird. You type in 10 or 11 digits and it routes the call through some random way and it gets there. We're used to it because it's the only way we can do it now. Email addresses are the same thing. But then you have these various ways of contacting people via IM, different formats of names. There's no standard for it. And same with websites. And then after you do that, you just hope they're available. In the sense that you call them, you establish that communication to them. Are they next to their Skype? Do they have Skype open? Do they have their headset connected? Are you calling them and wasting that 30 seconds to a minute only for them not to pick up? And then if they do see you calling, do they want to actually answer the call? I mean, if they see, oh man, Matt's calling again, I don't want to talk to him, it's Friday. So, you know, will they want to answer my phone call or any phone call? And also, if I'm doing video conferencing and I want to initiate a video conference, do I want to be able to receive that video conference? Setting different preferences for communication. So from a problem perspective, so directory updates are incredibly unreliable. So, you know, right now you do a blast email to everyone saying, hey, my phone number has changed. Can you please update your address book? And that's it. You do that, best effort. And so then all of a sudden you have these different address books, you have your own, but it's not necessarily equal to Jack's, not equal to Sarah's. And so you have this possibility for losing consistent data between the different address books. Next you have that there's no single master directory. You have these various information stores, be it your local address book on your computer, be it, you know, you have your Facebook information where I update my information on there, but that's not necessarily tied into my address book, and same with all these other technologies. And then, of course, privacy. How do we deal with privacy? I mean, right now, who can contact me? How can they contact me? When? Do I want people who are on my Facebook network to be able to have my contact information? Or do I want people on my LinkedIn network, who I consider business associates, to have my personal cell phone number or not? And so you just have to be able, how do we set that? There's no real way to do it besides putting it all out there or not at all at this point. There's also big problems with interoperability. You have no love, there it is, between Skype, AIM, Facebook, kind of what I touched on earlier. You can't get these systems to talk to each other. It just doesn't happen. There's no way to get those to talk to each other. So a system is only as effective as its user install base. And that's hampering the expansion of these various solutions. So then from... And then here we go. It's all left to chance, like I mentioned. We have an unpredictable hit rate. When we call somebody, are they going to answer? Are they available? Do they want to answer? Do they want to be contacted by IM or video or voice? What's the most effective way to get through to that person? And right now, we determine if we wanted to call someone, if it's 10 o'clock at night, by manners. Or, you know, it's rude to maybe call them at their house at 10, but what if I'm working late? And what if I'm waiting for that critical call so I can get something done in the morning, but I don't get that call because someone doesn't think they should? How do you get around that problem of communication? And so... So we talked about how big are these issues. I mean, we've made it this far, but as I was talking about, there's all these innovations happening in communications. We're all subscribing to various technology systems to kind of set our stage for how we communicate with each other, and that's going to create a difficulty for us to talk to each other. And like I said, we all have the technologies of today that we're not utilizing to the fullest. I mean, Polycom, for example, is a company who creates those video conferencing units. They mostly sit in the corner of an office because they can only talk to one other office because they can't interoperate with another company who has a very similar but maybe not exactly the same setup. So there's a lot of interoperability issues. And so then we also have this new communications-heavy user base. So my generation or so expects everything to be a push to communicate. A click-to-communicate mentality. I want to call someone right now. I want to pick up their phone. I want to dial them. I want to see what's going on. We need to be able to establish, collaborate, and talk right off the bat. We are this kind of hyperactive generation of how we communicate, and that's just how we were brought up with AIM and all those technologies. And everything else, Skype and Facebook, LinkedIn, that's all kind of feeding that desire to communicate. And so then, of course, there's privacy. You know, where's the lines between trust versus availability, and the timeout-based communication where you call somebody, you think because you want to talk to them, but you don't know if they're available. You spend up to 45 minutes in an average business day waiting on voicemail, waiting for a call back, waiting for the person to get back to you, and it just adds up, and it's incredibly inefficient. Whereas to know before you call if someone's available, it would be incredibly useful. And so in the enterprise environment, most of these problems are solved. You have these phone systems where everyone's using the same phones, everyone's using the same hardware systems. I mean, ShoreTel, Microsoft, Cisco are big players in that area where they actually install and they take ownership of all those communication capabilities, and they allow you to do like presence, which allows you to see what's going on. You can integrate with different directories. Although they haven't quite extended to social media, a lot of that is covered on the enterprise basis. So then the universal directory takes it beyond that, where you can do business to business and business to individual, or even consumer to consumer, which is the ultimate challenge because you have no control really as an entity of what the person installs. So to create the solution, it's all about you have to simplify the communication. You cannot make this more complicated. If adding this universal directory piece makes it more difficult for me to call Bill, I'm not going to use it. And that's just the way the people are. It has to be easier. We have to be able to communicate through open protocols. So kind of like the ocean directory, we have to have these systems that allow us to communicate openly with each other and with our different systems. And so we have to backhaul technology. So it's not the technology. The Open Directory or Universal Directory is not something we install. It's something that the creators of these different systems integrate when they're creating this. So when I install Skype, I inherently have access to this thing. And so the piece one is the interoperability. We have to get these various systems to talk to each other. How do we get video and voice and whatnot to communicate between each other? That's a big first step. The next step is the directory. How do we centralize our profiles? We have to make it so we have a central point for all of our contact information. We have to be able to update that effectively through our various accounts, and we have to be able to pair that with different businesses. So I own my information, very similar to what we talked about earlier. I own the information, and then that is stored, and that is paired with, say, UCSB or with Pacific Swell. But there's this concept of pairing through all this. The third piece is presence. So we have this pre-connection availability awareness. So, for instance, we have three people on my contact list. Now, very much like AIM, if I want to call Johnny Appleseed, I say, hey, he's ready to take a call. He's green. Tim, I see he's not available. So I need to know before I connect to him what he if he's available. And on top of that, I get to know what he's able to do. Can I communicate via voice? He doesn't want to accept video. He will do IM, and he'll do file share. All that's presented to me before I even establish the communication through that system that I'm using on my computer. From a privacy perspective, we need to be able to say, to group people and establish what people can see in one place. I mean, right now, Facebook, you can set these privacy settings, but what if there's, you want to have LinkedIn or business people? Like, I have this struggle with, do I add this business person into my Facebook because, you know, I don't know if I want them to have my personal information, see what I'm writing to friends, and all that other stuff. So here we can establish these relationships between these different people on different systems in one place. And so essentially what we have is a cloud technology, just the classic cloud. It's basically a traffic controller with a directory. So when I have a system coming in, or I have these different, I keep track of all the communication interfaces between these various systems. So when I have Facebook, I basically, when I update on my Facebook, it updates this universal directory, which then sends that to Google Talk and Skype and all those different applications. And also, it keeps track of how, when I want to do a GTalk video set, or if I'm using GTalk, I want to do video to me, it knows that I have Skype available to complete that call. And so from a kind of how it works perspective, we have this the various methods of communication registered to this directory. For instance, we have video. We say that with video, you can reach me at this IP address. My phone, my voice, my mobile number is there, but it can handle voice. My home number is there, and it handles voice. And you can specify what of these various technologies are they're able to do in terms of the directory. So I indicate the capability of that method of communication. And that's further updated and managed by the individual. So whenever I'm doing that by Skype, when I register my username in Skype to this universal directory, I specify what is possible, and I manage that, not any organization. So similar to Facebook, we do a request and approval process. So if I want to add someone as a friend, I create the relation with the person as an entity, not needing their contact info. So I don't need to have someone's phone number, but I use the social networks to find the person I want to pair or establish a relationship with, and I do it that way. So it's a very interesting way of going about it, where it's name-based versus having cell phone numbers or email addresses, because technically, you don't need that information because it's already stored in the universal directory. So if you add it in one place, because it's all cloud-based and everything ties into a central directory, you add it to this universal directory, it shows up as a contact in all your other systems. So it's all just a unified, centralized way of storing your information. So to give you an idea of how it would work and maybe in the sense of an iPhone application. So find person from the contact list synced with the universal directory. So say I want to contact my CTO, Taylor. I'm presented with the various methods of communication that are available for him. So I could do a voice call, an instant message. I could do a video call, but he's preferred not to do a video call in this case. As I can see, before I even try to establish a video call, I can see he's not available. And so based on his presence, and also his preference for communication, I can establish that very quickly. And notice there's no phone numbers. He can be signed in through Skype, through GTalk, through AIM, or he could just have his cell phone there. he specified which way he can take that voice call and which way he prefers to take that voice call. So when I establish that voice call, it's not like I'm trying Skype the name than his phone. I just try once, and it routes the call to him. And say for after hours, if he's away and he's sleeping, I just only have voicemail available. He doesn't want to take any calls. He doesn't want video. He doesn't want IM. I can just hit voicemail right off the bat. I don't spend the 30, 45 seconds waiting to hear that he's not available anyway. So from a how it works perspective and from a technology integration perspective, and this is where there's going to be some room for innovation and taking these various systems and making everything work together. So we have these systems and endpoints consult. So say I want to call Taylor, for instance. I have my iPhone, and I say I want to do a voice call. It sends that call to this cloud, and based upon his availability, technologies, and different systems that he has, this routing engine says, oh, the best way to reach him is via Skype. So it sends the call via Skype to for the voice call, and then we have this media established. So you're not stuck to just having, so I placed that call off my iPhone, but I got connected to him via Skype. At the end of the day, all I care about is I'm talking to him on the phone and through voice, and it was easy. I didn't have to go try all these different methods. That's the big difference here. And so from a technical perspective, you have just peer-to-peer technologies. Everything, this diagram just shows it's all based upon IP networks that were interconnected with the internet, private networks, public networks, and using those networks, we could establish this connectivity without having tolls, without having to pay for voice gateways or circuits or anything like that. And of course, say we have to go to a phone, we could fall back to established communication mechanisms. So the interoperability piece is being taken care of by this technology called SIP, Session Initiation Protocol. I deal with this thing day in and day out. It's been kind of my lifeblood. But it poses as the only protocol that's going to make it possible for these different systems that we're creating to interoperate and work together. So, you know, it's funny, it's the most unstandard standard in the sense that there's no way you can establish, or it's a means to having two systems talk to each other, but it's really open to interpretation. If you know anything about IP communications and SIP, you'll know that there's just problems to get things to talk together like nothing else out there. And so there's a long way to go on that. And so this thing called the SIP form helps out with that, along with Spearman. Excuse me. And so other current developments, you have this thing called IMS. It's the IP multimedia system. It's incredibly complicated, as you can tell, but the idea is it's very similar to this, but it's stuck on carrier networks. So the future 4G networks have these IMS systems that will do a lot of this present stuff we're talking about. And they have APIs that are eventually going to get integrated into Twitter, into Facebook, into these various things. So this could be at the core, but the problem with this is it's not open. It's very closed, and it's very stuck to very expensive equipment. And that needs a change for it to be as pervasive as we'd like to see this. So from a directory standpoint, you have the .tel domain, which is very interesting. So there's actually matvlasak.tel out there, and it has all my contact information, and this .tel actually has an API that you can use to link to other systems. They haven't quite been developed yet, but the idea here is I update my matvlasak.tel, and it pushes that information to all my other contact directories. So there's one place where I manage. That takes care of that address book inconsistency problem that we were talking about before. And same with this other routing protocol. It helps to route calls through IP instead of regular phone systems or phone lines. From a current development standpoint, this is just what's amazing. There's like an incredible amount of stuff changing nowadays. There's 4G. I mean, you hear about 3G all the time. 4G is the next big thing. You know, like there was an issue between HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. You have a similar thing going on with 4G right now between LTE and WiMAX. And you could do a lot more. You could get a gigabit per second through this wireless technology, which is just incredible compared to 3G. And it's built with that IMS model I talked about earlier in mind. So that directory concept, everything's moving in that direction. but it's very close at this point, like I said. Let's see, from broadband speeds are ever increasing, so it's making this IP more reliable. So every day, I mean, you can get Verizon files is 20 megs down and 5 megs up, which is just unheard of. It's faster than what you would pay at a business for thousands of dollars per month. And you just get that for a couple hundred dollars, or if, you know, $150. It's incredible. And it's just getting faster and faster and more available. And we also have these more powerful and feature-rich endpoints. The iPhone, I mean, the App Store, the iPhone itself has just revolutionized the industry with all these apps. There's the BlackBerry, Nokia, of course, the Android is coming out. There's a lot of new app, new handheld systems that are making these sort of things more possible than ever before. And so there's, you know, just the recent developments. There's been, this is just since October. You can now do VoIP over 3G, which is an incredible change for the market. And it kind of falls in line with the net neutrality stuff that passed recently too, which is saying that we're not going to allow carriers to charge extra for certain kinds of bandwidth. So the idea here is that before, AT&T wouldn't let you do VoIP applications over 3G because it would take away from their metered minutes. They charge you based upon their minutes, but now they're allowing you to bypass that and can use other outside VoIP networks to be able to establish phone calls. And with an iPhone, you have unlimited data, and so you basically get unlimited calling at a much less rate, lesser rate than through their self plan, which is just incredible. And then Cisco purchased this company called Tamberg. They do video telepresence systems for $3 billion. $3 billion. And they're predicting a $34 billion market for collaboration in the upcoming years. And they say that video is going to take 90% of all IP traffic. And so the takeaway from this is that there's a lot of money, there's a lot of momentum, there's a lot of effort getting put into these endpoints and into this method of communication. But it further emphasizes that there's this need to make them all work together. Because unless everyone has Tamberg or Cisco, we're going to have people using Cisco or, say Polycom, and they're not going to be able to talk to each other, thereby making that technology less useful for the end user. So from the challenges perspective, there's a business model for this universal directory that has to be defined and worked out. Of course, there's who's going to manage this? Who's going to make it a central point? Are you going to have a shared relationship between Facebook? Is Facebook going to help that out? It's going to be interesting to see. But it must be turnkey and packaged. So you have to be able to have this sort of application available on a lot of your systems. So Skype needs to bundle it. The iPhone phone needs to have that API and that system built in. Otherwise, you have just another island. You have the Universal Directory island, and you're right back at square one. So getting mass distribution is going to be a difficult part. And like I mentioned, SIPA interoperability has a long way to go, and like I touched on also, the net neutrality is essential for this to work. You have to have, and that essentially will allow IP or these endpoint IP systems to talk to each other directly without additional toll, without the phone companies charging you more to do this sort of communication. We're right in the middle of just, it's incredibly political. There's a lot going on there of what you can do or can't do with their networks and if they're going to charge you. And whole industries can be made or broken by the politics of it. It's very interesting. So then there's also the concept of hyperconnectivity. If I'm always available through some system, this theoretically opens the floodgates to allow me to be more available than ever before and through various means. And at what point is there too much? And same with privacy. How do you make all that work together and establish and keep privacy when you're that available? And then also in the news has been the iPhones jamming AT&T's networks. I mean, clearly we're overloading the system. Well, basically, we have these 3G, and that's with just 3G, and that's with just iPhones. Imagine if we're throwing video over the network. Imagine if we're doing all these other things. We're going to overload the system. So there's a tremendous opportunity in network development to be able to improve that and get a developed infrastructure to make this sort of communication more effective. So, in a conclusion, we're in an area of communication overhaul because of that IP network piece. So we have the communication spectrum area is just ripe for innovation. I mean, there's so much you could do. The universal directory is just a concept of where we could tie everything together to make it get to that point. But in terms of establishing endpoints, interconnectivity, and other technologies, it's just an open field. And companies like Cisco are investing billions to realize that dream and make that happen. The effects that it has on travel by telepresence, Cisco's main reason for doing this is you look at the cost to fly people around the country or around the world a couple times a year, you do that math, and it makes sense to spend $400,000 on a telepresence system to avoid all that travel. I mean, you consider that not only the flight cost and the taxes and whatnot, but the time that it takes, productive time it takes away from executives to travel, just the time in a plane. Whereas, quickly, this video stuff, where it's real time, it feels like you're there, really makes a big difference. There's just this moving target. I mean, you have Twitter and you have this telepresence technology going on. Where's it going to stop? I mean, we see Twitter. How valuable is Twitter? When you have social networks that are targeted to a certain discipline, I think that's fantastic, like DigitalOcean. But what about people who are saying they're sitting on the porch? I mean, it's a classic thing with Twitter. So how do you make that usable? Is Twitter going to die off and only be reserved to certain types of things that have actual application? So if you build something for Twitter and then it dies, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? And so the key, again, is with all these innovations, is it's only successful when people can utilize that technology that you're building. If you aren't building something that makes communication more difficult or doesn't actually help establish communication, it's just going to die. It's just not going to work. So this is a way of helping to establish that connectivity, and there's a lot of innovation that can happen between now and then to get there. So thank you for the presentation.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.